This is a lie too.
How you doing, Ruben?
Good, man.
All 20K.
And I have, it looks like presidential meeting or something. Four cameras we have here. And we're gonna pray in. Have minister, officer minister, just minister? Yeah, just, just Minister Ryan. And we're gonna pray in. How are the guys doing in prayer?
Good.
They're doing good? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
God is good. He's moving. He speaks to us at every call.
Good. Praise God.
Guiding us and leading us.
Praise God. That's good. I've been praying for a men's ministry and God sent me you. Let's go.
He sent me you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening.
Yes, sir.
In the name of your Son, our only hope, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Father, we ask that you would draw us near to you tonight through this message. Father, we pray that your presence would come into every environment, every household, and every time this message is played, Father, that those who hear it, that their eyes would be drawn to the Son, to you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for what you did for us, and what you want us to do. God, we love you. We ask, Lord, that you would sanctify us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, cut every soul tie. Lord, sever every familiar spirit in the name of Jesus that is getting in the way of us serving you more fully. Lord, we need you. You are our hope and our strength and our shield. We ask that your Holy Spirit would put a hedge of protection around every single household in this body of your bride, Lord. Open our eyes to what's to come. Open the eyes of our loved ones, those who have not received you as Lord and Savior. Lord, use us to have those hard conversations, to preach the gospel like never before.
Amen.
Use each of us, consecrate us for your kingdom. Use this message tonight. We ask, Lord,
yes,
that you would save your people.
Yes, sir.
And we would be ready to stand before you with nothing in our pockets.
Amen.
Everything laid out before you, everything forgiven of, everything repented of, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this house, for this ministry, and every minister that's attached to it. You are our King, our Lord, our Savior. So, Lord, we look to you tonight for guidance, for direction, for empowerment. We decree and declare that you're coming soon. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go. We are ready. Pastor Ben, how you doing today?
I'm good.
Good, good. I have my notes. I hope everybody else has their notes. Here come my workout buddy. We work out at Big Dog Gym. You know where Big Dog Gym is, Pastor Ben? It's in my garage.
Big Dog Gym.
Yeah, we gave it a name. We got so much stuff now. So, praise the Lord. I just want to thank three people for sending me letters and for Shayna. Shayna sent me and her husband. They sent me these recording things. And we're going to figure them out, how to work them and how to get them in here so that I could just put one on and I could walk from here to the back and still get the same sound. But they are awesome ministers of God. And I love Shayna. She's a good wife and mommy. They sent me these. This is going to help my witnessing as I get out and meet my neighbors. And don't be lazy about my witnessing. So now that gives me more of an emphasis to get out there. So praise God for that. And then we have from Commanded Harvest Ministry.
Oh, Pastor, that's a beautiful letter.
Okay.
Beautiful letter.
Wow. Yeah, I can't read the whole thing, though.
What's the pastor's name?
Let's see what the pastor's name.
On the ticky on the front.
Marlon Jackson.
Yeah.
Praise God.
It's an awesome.
I'm going to read this whole letter then. Praise God.
What's the name of the church?
The name of the church is Commanded Harvest Ministry.
I think he's been watching us for years.
Wow, and they're in Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. So praise God, man. Yeah. I'll read some of it tomorrow during Hebrew, right before Hebrew class.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
that is beautiful. Thank you, Pastor Ben. And our friends over at the Church of Servant King, and here is Chris and Becky Musgrove.
Yeah, they're faithful members.
Yeah, and they're in Fairmont, West Virginia. Praise God. And see, I love the short ones. It says, Dear Pastor, you and your wife and your family, thank you. God bless you. Watching for Jesus in West Virginia. Finish the race strong. Thank you. I needed that. I also talked to Kathy Whitmore, or is it Whitmire, yesterday. She was the one, she gave the Bible to her brother, and then she asked for another.
I sent her another one.
Okay, yeah, she was in a little accident. A big guy was working out, ran into her and broke her shoulder. And so she's been in a hospital. So I called her yesterday. We had a real long talk, but she was in a little pain. So I'm going to give her a call tomorrow, see how she's doing. But Kathy, we love you. I hope you're feeling better and doing better. And thank God for your friend Janice who called me. She was like, you got to call her. So praise God.
I did send her Bible and stuff.
Yes, you did. Yeah, she mentioned that when we were on the phone.
Oh, did she got
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, she did. Uh-huh. Yeah. And her brother really enjoys the other. So anyway, this letter here is from Yokis and Shanna. And they're the ones that sent me the microphone, wireless microphones. So you know who they are, right? They're OCR Street Ministry. They go out and they preach on the street, preach the gospel on the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our current reality, yeah. OCR. Praise God. So I am very excited because of the day and time we're living in. I really want to get out of the way, the whole Gentile church, to get out of the way so Satan can see who's really the boss. Because, you know, sometimes you start thinking that you're tougher than you are because nobody's, the big brother's not ready to beat you up yet, but
it's coming.
It's coming. And there's too much going on in the world to continue the way it is. It's just a lot of really bad things going on. And, I try to stay away from all the negativity because God has a plan too.
Yep.
And I really would much rather hear about God's plan than Satan's plan.
Amen.
So I'm really keeping my head in the Bible and trying to keep my head out of what's going on. I don't want to hear about the return of Trump. All this stuff. I don't want to hear about none of it. I just want to hear what is Jesus about to do.
Yep.
That's what's important to me.
Amen.
Because all that other stuff, I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. It's just a bunch of stuff to keep my head filled. But I do know one thing, what's in the Bible is coming true.
Yep.
So I'm going to stick with that for now. Now, since I'm all into Jesus and not into my question to the Lord is like, well, when? And God is like, the Lord's like, you know, you better start enjoying your backyard. You put a lot of work in there and you're not going to be able to use it that long. And I was like, really, Lord? So when are we leaving? When are we leaving? Yeah, so when the Lord tells you don't have that much time, I want to know, okay, well, how much? But, you know, he can't tell us everything. But I am more than ready for the rapture to happen because the rapture is going to reveal to the world that God is real. and is going to reveal to the world that God's not finished and the Bible has to be completed.
That's right.
So many incredible prophecies have happened. You know, I really want to thank all of our YouTube people, Pastor Ben. I mean, so much encouragement comes from them and just messages and everything. And they send me a lot of stuff. Don't think I don't want you to send me stuff. I like to send it because I know how to sift through. Then I'll get one and I'll go, okay, I got to watch this one. And then I'll see some I've already, but 20 other people already sent me that same one. But I don't want you to stop sending me stuff, but I do sift through it and I do pray before I get myself involved in it, okay? So I'm on this website today and it's called Calculate the Number of Days. And it's like no calculation is too hard for them, right? It's like, I think calculatetheday.com or something. So I immediately got excited because I wanted to know Yom Kippur of 2028. How many days are between Yom Kippur of 2021 and Yom Kippur of 2028? And then I clicked it in and it said there are 2,541 days from Yom Kippur 2021 to Yom Kippur 2028. And I said, wow, that's about an even 7 years, because that would be 2,520. So I'm like, I'm only 21 days off. So something's got to happen very soon, because we're looking at this last generation. And this last generation that we're in, the 70 years we know has passed, and the 80 years is standing in front of us. And the 80 years is looking like the last 7 years in the book of Psalms are a complete replica of the 7 years of tribulation. So if of all of the Psalms that we have that says the Psalm of Ascent, the Psalm of the Ascent, and then for only one Psalm to say the Psalm to Ascent, and that be in 2021, everything's got me on edge about leaving, okay? A lot of people have things going on in life. My focus is Jesus and his book, okay? And that's what's important. If Jesus and his book is not important to you, that's up to you. But for me, what you're going to hear is what's going on in the book, because it's been proven for 6,000 years that this is more important than what's going on in the world. Because in 1948, God did not care who won the World Series or who won the basketball. He did not care who was signing a new contract. He didn't care about any of that. He was like, it's time for Israel to be a nation again. 1967, who cares who wins what? Who cares what's on TV? 1967, it's time for the Six-Day War. So everything that he's saying is going to happen. So I'm looking at it, and I says, from Yom Kippur 2028, counting backwards to Yom Kippur 2021, is 2,541 days. You know what day I was looking for, though? No, Pastor Ben? 2,520 days. Because 2,520 days would be the exact time of the tribulation. But I'm realizing a lot of people don't know why Yom Kippur is so important, okay? A lot of people don't understand that Jesus already told us when he's coming back. He didn't tell us the day of the rapture.
Right.
But he already told us when he's coming back. He's coming back on Yom Kippur. Okay, he's already put it in scripture, so you'll know that this is the day that I'm going to come back. This is going to be the end of times. Okay, so the 7 year tribulation, once a guy comes forth and does this, I have a 7 year peace agreement for the whole world. There's going to be no more war. We're going to have complete peace and harmony for the next 7 years. And he signs into declaration this peace agreement. Soon as he does that, you can start counting 2,520 days. Because when 2,520 days is over, it will be over, okay? Because God has already told us when the second coming is, he just hasn't told us when the rapture is, okay? So that's what we're looking for, is the rapture. But as we're winding down in time and we're getting closer to that 2028 year, which is the end of the 80, and we've done that study, but we're going to read it again because the Lord is going to lead me and I'm going to let him.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalms 90, verse 10. Now it says, the length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away and we fly away. Okay? So what he's saying here is that the length of our days, what are the length of our days? What is a generation to mankind? 70 years. 80, well, it's not even 80 if you're strong, because we always said that. It's 80 years if you have the strength, okay? But this 80 years, he says the only reason they're having 80 years is because of their pride and arrogance, and because of that is going to bring them into sorrow, but that time is going to quickly pass away, and then they'll fly away. So the Bible has given us that it won't be in 1948, we thought 70 years, we're done. Then we go, okay, we have till 80, which is now we're pressed out to 2028. And we're not trying to figure out something that may happen. We're trying to figure out something that's going to happen. So as we're looking at this and we're getting closer to the, because there's a 7-year period between Yom Kippur 2028, which is pretty much solidified as the second coming date, right? Counting back 2,527 years, okay? But we have to consider one thing. The church gets raptured before there is a peace agreement. And matter of fact, the book of Samuel says it could be even up to 180 days before the signed agreement. But if it's less than that, and there, let me tell you, all kinds of stuff going through my head. I'm trying to like, Lord, get us out of here. These people are getting crazy, right? I was watching the football thing the other day and they were saying, well, we're trying to have the football season, but you know, half of the players don't want to get the poison, and the other half want to get the poison, and you know, and then the other half are saying we're not going to do it, and so how are we going to have half of the players with mask on and half the players without mask on? We just don't know what to do with the whole season, you know. And I'm like, why is that the only way that you can play is that you have to agree to be poisoned?
Right.
It's crazy. So it's just weird, crazy times that we're living in. And I could go through a whole lot of stuff, but that's it. So now, that Yom Kippur is solid, okay? I want you to know it's solid. You understand? You don't have to sit around and try to figure out the second coming. You don't have to even, because the Bible is going to tell you exactly how it's going to happen. But let's go back to Exodus so you can see why Yom Kippur is the most important day and why Jesus would say, that's the day I'm coming back. Okay? Let's go to Exodus chapter 32, and this is where it all started. Now listen to this. Exodus chapter 32, It says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, let us make gods who will go before us. And for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So Aaron answered them, take off your gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all of the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he took what they had, they handed him, and made it into an idol and cast it into the shape of a calf, fashioning it with tools. That then they said, these are your gods. So they fashioned an idol in the form of a calf, and he says, this is your God, worship this. Okay, because we don't know what happened to Moses. Now, before you get completely angry, I know what he was doing because I study Egyptology. When your leader dies, you're supposed to kill this calf and mummify it, and then cast it into gold, and then everyone worships it to say you're praying for your leader that just left to die. So they went back to Egyptian idol worship to get an answer, which was crazy. Because the real God had just brought them out of Egypt. And so God knows what's going on because he sees everything. But Moses doesn't because he's on the mountain. So here, let's go here in verse 7 of chapter 32. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down because your people, who you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol and cast it into the shape of a calf, and they have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. He's like, now I was there, and I don't remember any golden calf saying anything. So these people have started idol worship already. So now Moses is on his way back down. We're getting to Yom Kippur. He says in chapter 32, verse 19. It says, when Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tables out of his hand. Now, what tables did he throw out of his hand? The Ten Commandments. He was on his way back down to give them the covenant to marry God. But here he comes down, they're dancing around a golden calf, okay? And it says, and they're dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calves they had and made and burnt it in the fire. Then grounded it to powder and scattered it in the water and made the Israelites drink it. So I don't know what that was about, but Moses was angry. And you know Moses has a problem with anger, yeah. Mr. Strike the Rock Man.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what's going on. Now Moses is angry with the people. He comes down from with God. When he comes down, the priesthood, who's the priesthood? Aaron. Aaron is the one who started this. You understand? So Moses comes down like when Jesus came down. What was the problem with the Israelites? It wasn't the people. It was the priesthood. It was the Pharisees. So it's the same thing. You understand? So now, just like Jesus, Moses is going to have to go back up to the mountain. You understand? So now Moses decides, okay, what says, okay, let me go over here to, okay, in 32 verse 30. The next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sins." You hear that? Now, what is atonement? What is atonement? He's going to go back up, and he's going to make an atonement, a sacrifice. He's going to have a redemption for them, but he's got to go back up and see if he can work something out with the Lord as an atonement for their sins. Okay? So he goes back up to the mountain, and he said, "I'm going back up there to make atonement." How do you say atonement, the Day of Atonement, in Hebrew? Yom Kippur. Okay? So he's going to go back up in the mountain, and when he goes in the mountain, it's like Elul the first. So Elul first, he heads back up to the mountain. Let's say that's August 1st, right? So Elul first, he goes back up to the mountain. And he's up in the mountain now. And what do you think the Hebrews, the Jews are doing right now? They're fasting and praying and wondering, when he comes back, we gonna get it, right? He's like, this is crazy. The Jews are thinking, Moses was a good guy. He delivered us, he brought us out. Soon as he turns his back, we start sinning. Now he's gone back up to the mountain to ask God what to do to us. And so they're waiting for 40 days. For the next 40 days, they're waiting to see if they're going to die. Okay? Moses is back on the mountain. And this is what he says. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "What a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please, forgive their sins, Lord." He says, "Forgive their sin. But if not, blot me out of the book you have written." So Moses is willing to even sacrifice himself to save the people. Is that like Jesus or what? Okay. So Moses says, then block me out and save them. But God wants him to have mercy on these people. Okay? And it says, block me out. And they have done a great sin, but now he forgive them or block me out. Okay. Now that's over. I want to say that's over. So Moses now is going to go back up to the mountain, and he's up there, okay? And let's go over to chapter 34. In chapter 34, the Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on the Mount Sinai, present yourself to me. Therefore, on top of the mountain, no one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flock or the herds may gaze in front of the mountain." Moses chiseled out two tablets like the first ones, and went up to the mountain early in the morning as the Lord commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood with him and proclaimed his name, Yahweh. Now he's proclaiming that he's Yahweh. He was Yah. He was El Shaddai, and he was Yah. But now he's Yahweh, because now he's adding a vav and a hey to his name, So now it's becoming a title. Now Yod is the hand of God, He is the Spirit, and now Vav becomes redemption, or connecting men to God through the Spirit. So now he gives Moses a title. Yahweh is my name. Yod Heh Vav Heh, okay? And so now Moses is on the mountain. He's getting the new tablets, and God is going to give him a new covenant to take down to the people and tell them this is the new covenant, okay? Now, Jesus is coming back too, right? Now remember, when Jesus came down to his Jewish friends, they were in sin. He went back up to do what? Make atonement. Moses goes back up for how long? 40 days. Jesus goes back up for how long? 40 jubilees, 2,000 years. But he's coming back down like Moses with a new covenant for the people that were in sin when he came the first time. Okay, let's turn. Oh, I wanted to read that. Did I want to read that? No. I'm okay with that. Okay. Yeah, this is the part I wanted to read. Verse 10 of chapter 34. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people, and I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land. What is God going to do with all those people that are already, what land are they all living in? They're all living in Israel. What do they call that land? Canaan. But these people, listen, you know who Ham is? Ham is the father of Cush. Cush means black. I showed you a picture of Ham from the encyclopedias I had. Ham was a dark brother. After this thing happened, they're all going into to live in Africa. They're all going to live in Canaanite. They don't go back to Africa because Cush is the land of Africa. They were supposed to go back to Cush, but the Nephilim have them living in Canaan, which is really Israel, which is the land that God wants to give to the Jews, right? So this is why some black people get it confused. Because you were there first don't mean you belong there. Hello. It's still God's house. Right. And if it's my house, I say who gets what bedroom, okay? So when I kick you out, just go live in the living room and be happy. So God makes a promise, I'm going to kick all of those Hamites out of Canaan, and I'm going to rename the land and put you in there. This is what I'm going to do for you. Okay, so that's what he does. Now let's go here to verse 27 of chapter 34. Now it's from the law first, and so in verse 27, it says, the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Without eating bread or drinking water, he wrote on the tablet the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. So you see that? He didn't eat for 40 days. He was up there for 40 days. Who else fasted for 40 days? Okay? So I'm trying to let you understand something. Because soon as Jesus finished fasting, he went right to the temple. Well, he got tempted, but then he goes right into the temple, opens up the book of Isaiah, and reads to them concerning the end days. Okay? So, now in verse 29, it says, Moses came down from the mountain. What day is it that Moses is coming down from the mountain? Please say Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. So now on the 10th of Tishri, Moses comes back down from the mountain, and the Jewish people, the Hebrews, are waiting for Moses to come back down because they know we're either going to get destroyed or he's made atonement for us. But they're not too thrilled about this whole thing. It says, when Moses came down from the mountain with the two tablets of testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses' face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him. So why'd they have to come back? Moses coming down the mountain and his face is glowing. And they think it's judgment time. So what do they do? Because Moses had to say, no, come back. Not. I got a new covenant for you. I'm not going to jack you up. Come on back. Come on back. Then the people came back and Moses gave them the new covenant. And now that it was established that Moses went back up to the mountain, made atonement, and came back with a new covenant for the people that were evil when he left. Okay? This is what's happening now. You understand? God puts all these things in here so that you know that you're going through the same thing again. This is just a typology of what Jesus is going to do. Okay? So now he comes back and he gives them a new covenant. When Jesus comes down, he's going to say, I am the Messiah. You're no longer under the law. You are under a covenant of faith and grace. And so therefore, this new covenant allows you to have the Holy Spirit in you. I'm going to put my word in your heart. And so now you don't have to remember 613 commandments. I'm putting my law in your heart and putting my spirit in you. And he gives them this new covenant. And Israel is able to marry again because their first husband died. And who was their first husband? God. Jesus. He was on the cross. Yeah. And so he comes back and he has a new covenant. And now Israel. Now, this is not where it ends, though. When Jesus comes back, what's he going to do? Well, I mean, when Jesus comes back in the second coming, okay, and he's coming back to destroy. I mean, he's going to destroy the enemies, okay? But Israel, he's not going to destroy. Israel, he's going to protect and give them a new covenant. But once he lands, then what does Jesus say he's going to do? Here, let's look at this. Okay, are you still in your book? In your Bible? Now watch this. Moses comes down, he's there. In chapter 35, verse 4, listen what Moses says as soon as he comes down. Right after they come back to him and he gives them the new covenant, Moses says to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have taken, offering for the Lord, everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dye, red, and hide of the sea of cow, acacia wood, olive oil for the lighting, for the light, spices for the anointing, oil and fragrance, incense, onyx stones, or other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastplate. all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle with its tent and covering and claps. Okay, so now Moses is getting the people together to do what? Get this material together so we can build the tabernacle. So when Jesus comes back, what is he going to do? He's going to build the temple. So this is what he does. He's come down. Now, this is why I keep telling people, the Antichrist temple is not the temple that Jesus is going to live in for the 1,000-year millennium. He comes down. He begins to build the temple. Why? Because Moses gives you the typology. So now Moses says, I came down. The people thought I was going to judge them. I didn't judge them. I gave them a new covenant and a new relationship with God. Now let's build him a tabernacle. So in 37, they have all the other more materials. They make the tables in 37, the lampstands, the altar, the brazen materials used for this. Priestly garments. He even starts gathering priestly garments. They're building a tabernacle because the Lord is going to live in the tabernacle, right? Then you get to chapter 40, and this is what it says. In verse 33, it says, then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle, because it was finished, right? An altar, and put up the curtains and the entrance to the courtyard. So Moses finished the work. So the tabernacle's finished, right? Watch this, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meetings. Then the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because of the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle. So when Moses, when Jesus comes back and he builds the new temple, then the presence of God is going to come and fill that temple and be in the, see, because the Antichrist tried to sit in the Kadosh Kadoshim. He tried to sit in the Holy of Holies, but he got destroyed. He's in hell now for 1,000 years. But now God has, when he lands, the next thing he does is starts building the tabernacle. Here's your new covenant. I'm going to build the tabernacle because I'm here to live among you for the next 1,000 years. Okay? Let's look at this. Go to Acts chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 13. Toda rabalaka Adonai, toda hadebarim tov. His words are good. Now watch this. I'm going to read verse 13 through 18. When they had finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. You hear that? So he's there telling them that God is here to take a Gentile people out for himself, okay? So he says, Simon has described to us that God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentile a people for himself. The word of the prophet are in agreement with this as it is written. After this, after what? After he takes out a Gentile people for himself. Okay, so he takes the Gentile people out for himself. The next thing he says, after this, he says, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild. I will, listen to God speaking. God says, he says, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. its ruins. I will, he says, I will build and I will restore it. The remnant of men, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. So God has made a place for the Gentiles. But he's not going to come back and rebuild the temple like Moses came down and built the temple. I'm not coming back to earth until after I take a Gentile people out for myself. Then I'm going to come back and build David's fallen tent. Okay? I'm going to be rebuild it, he says. I'm going to restore it, he says. So we know now that when Jesus comes down, he's going to do the same thing Moses did. He's going to build the tabernacle. He's going to build the temple. And then after Jesus builds the temple, he's going to do what he told the prophet Ezekiel. After, because you get this building process in Ezekiel from chapter 39 to about 45 or so. And at the end, Jesus takes Ezekiel and says, come now, I want to show you. And Ezekiel goes with him and he says, look in there. And it's the Holy of Holies. He says, that is where I'm going to live among mankind for the next millennium. And he shows him, I'm going to come in to live with you. Okay? So, God has a plan. You understand?
10 minutes, Pastor.
All the stuff about transhumanism, getting the chip, blowing the world up.
Wow.
Because somebody told me, Earth is going to blow up. And we have one member that she loves me. I said, you love me. And she said, Pastor, there's going to be some earthquakes in California. And I don't want nothing to happen to you. I said, you love me. But you know what God told me? My mission, the reason he called me is to prepare the church to be raptured. I ain't going nowhere till we all go together, okay? So my mission stays the same.
Amen.
Prepare yourself to go, because the mission is the same and it's gonna stay the same. And no matter how it looks to you, because to some people, things are getting back in order, Pastor Sandy. And I'm like, what kind of order are you talking about? Is it Obama or old Biden president? I'm like, what kind of order are you talking about? Aren't they gearing up for a race war? Have you noticed that on TV? Everything is about a black something. You understand? It's like they're gearing black people up for a race war. We are like the most gullible. That George Soros was right. He said black people are the most gullible people on the face of the planet. You can get them to riot off of anything. And the crazy thing about it is, they won't even burn up your neighborhood. They'll burn up their own. It's absolutely crazy, okay? Asian lives matter. Asian people's like, well, we'll work it out in the courts.
Right.
And we're going to sue some people.
Right.
They were like, we're going to burn up our... They was trying to get the Asian...
Yeah.
Asian lives matters. Asian people are like, no, we don't do stuff like that.
Like that.
You know? we're going to get some lawyers and we're going to find out how... And we're going to, you know, salvage our businesses and make sure that everything's going well. And I was like, but black people...
Burn it up.
Well, burn up our own 99-cent store. Even though your auntie works there,
yeah,
you know?
Right? Your baby mama works there.
We got to stop being so gullible. They're setting us up. Don't watch all this new black TV they got on. It's just a bunch of anger stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to finish here. Go to Book of Revelation. Revelation chapter... Where we at, Pastor Ben?
Chapter 11.
We're in Revelation chapter 11, verse
2 through 15.
Well, we're not going to read 2 through 15. How much time I got?
About
About 8 minutes.
Ooh, we might read some of it. That's good. Okay. Are you there? I'm going to start reading at verse 1. It said, it was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God. Listen. He tells the angel, here's a measuring rod. Go and measure the temple of God. Jesus hasn't even returned yet. What is this temple doing in Israel? He says this, it was given a reed, a measuring rod, and said, go and measure the temple of God and the altar, count the worshipers there, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. Okay? For 42 months. Now, listen here. Let me finish reading this so you can see this whole thing. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. You see that? Clothed in sackcloth and ashes. These are the two olive trees, the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes down, comes out of their mouth to devour their enemies. This anyone who wants to harm them will be dealt with, right? So listen, 1,260 days times two is what? 2,520 days, exactly 7 years, but not 7 years with 365 days. In the book of Revelation, God is telling you a year will no longer be 365 days. Because now he says, and they will trample on it for 42 months. 42 months times 30, 1,260 days. So God is telling you every month's going to be 30 days. The complete 7 years is going to be 2,520 days. It's going to be divided into 1,260 and 1,260. And this is how God is measured. So whoever comes forth and says, this is the peace agreement, start counting. It is no, the second coming is no mystery.
Right.
God's like, this is not a mystery. You will know. You can count the days. As soon as the Antichrist says, here's the peace agreement, start counting. And you'll know on Yom Kippur, as that thing ends, he's coming back. And the Lord returns, and then he builds the temple. Okay? Let me show you something that's going to happen. Go back to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Pastor Ben, you've been messing with my book? Oh, there it is. All right. Amos chapter 5. I want to read to you guys this. Watch this. Oh, we can't wait till the Messiah comes. We can't wait till the Messiah. Oh, the day of the Messiah. This is what the Jews are like. They even have songs that say, we want Mashiach now, right? We want Mashiach now. No, you don't. This is what God is trying to say. Look, it says here in Amos, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? The day will be dark and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion. What man fled from a lion? What's the lion representing? Great Britain. Who owned Israel? Who owned Jerusalem? Because they wouldn't give it back to them in 1917. Great Britain took control of Israel and Jerusalem. So it says, and that was the sign of the lion. So it says, It will be as a man fled from a lion, but God came and won back Jerusalem in 1948 and they got it back, right?
Right.
Now, it says, it will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. Who's the bear?
Russia.
So now we're about to see the Gog Magog war, right? So now God's going to rescue them from the bear. Now watch this. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness?
Yep.
So now, after God rescues them from Great Britain, brings them back in 1948, the Russian Gog Magog war happens, God intervenes and saves them. They build their temple, go in and rest their hands, and then the Antichrist bites them on the hand.
Yep.
So the day of the Lord calling for the Mashiach, they still don't understand. Your Messiah is still on the mountain. He's still on Mount Zion. He's still up there and he's waiting to come back. Okay? And when he comes back, you better be glad he's not coming back to judge. He's coming back to rescue Israel, to gather his elect from the four corners, right? He's coming back to gather you. And once he comes back and he gathers you, and then he's going to bring you into the fold of a new covenant that the Gentiles that he took out of the world, that he took out, and now he comes back and he's going to build the temple. Do I have a minute or two, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 11. All right. This is Bible study night, right?
It is.
Because I love teaching. That preaching thing takes a lot out of you. I'm in Romans. I'm in chapter 11. It's my favorite scripture. I love to read it. I actually like to read the whole thing because it kind of straightens out people about trying to live a sinful life and still belong to God. But we'll skip over that part for now because that's not for today. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has left and went to another city. Until the Gentiles leave, he says, Israel is hardened in part until the full number of Gentiles leave, get out of here, and enter another city. And so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer, Moses is going to come back down, or Jesus is coming back down, right? The deliverer will come from Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob, which is what? Israel. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as the election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. For the gift of God and his call are irrevocable. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. And that's the gospel. That is the gospel. God is trying to save the whole world. But before he can come back and build the temple, he has to take a Gentile people out for himself. After that, he will return and build the fallen temple. Okay? This is God's plan for us, okay? That means that temple that's going to be built, you won't be here for that. Because when you come back, you're coming back with Christ, because you're the church that left when he came and took you. Because he's got to remove you, because he's got to remove you. After he removes you, he's coming back and he's going to build the chapel, the fallen temple. Okay? The plan is set for us. This is what we should be joying in. Having the joy of our lives over the fact that God already has a solidified plan. You understand? It doesn't matter what the enemy says. God has a plan, and it's already said that this is how it's going to happen. Okay? Here's somebody saying what he wants to happen, and here's somebody saying this is how it's going to happen.
Right.
And the person who's saying this is how it's going to happen has 6,000 years of perfect history. So let's listen to God, and let's be joyful about the plan. The rapture season is running out of numbers. You understand? So the day we're leaving is soon. Pentecost is coming, and we just need to be ready, okay? Because this is some strange, weird times we're living in. Praise God.
Amen.
See you in the morning for a Hebrew Bible college
what time,
or a club.
What time?
11 o'clock, we will be here.